time at the Liberty Seminar last weekend. As you know, we had Etienne from Ireland coming to help us with the worship, so there was a blessing. And something there, there's a few things that happened on that weekend that really spoke to me, and so this on my heart most of this week. So I'm just going to touch on a few basic things, but I really believe God wants to just encourage us this morning and exhort us and just build us up. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start with a well-known psalm, and I'm going to encourage you, if you need to be encouraged or exhorted, just go into the Psalms a bit again. It's really, there's such gems there. And the psalm that I'm going to read is we're going to read from David. Right? David's written a lot. There's no book called David. Do you know that in German that the first five books of the Bible, like Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, etc., they're written by Moses. So in German, they're also called Moses 1, Moses 2, etc. Yeah, I didn't know this. So when I was at the German Scouts in Pretoria, the guy said they were going to read from Moses 2, and I thought he was joking. So I had a good laugh, and then I saw I was the only one laughing. And then, anyway, so that's a tip so you don't get into that problem and situation. So we're going to, this is not called David, but he wrote a lot of Psalms. And this specific one he wrote when, now just put himself in his shoes. He wrote this when he was basically fleeing from Saul. So now he's just experienced a couple of amazing things happening in his life. Firstly, he's out tending the sheep, minding his own business when Samuel comes along, the prophet of the nation, the man of God, and anoints him as king. Okay, now that in itself is a bit of a kind of a scary situation because there is already a king, right? Okay, so then he goes on and things start to happen. He goes and slays Goliath. Obviously, massive shift in his life. Now he's no longer just the shepherd boy. Now he's a celebrity and he's famous type of thing. But then this crazy stuff starts happening. So a lot of blessing, a lot of kind of almost God is almost kind of releasing him into what he prepared for him. And then suddenly comes a serious persecution, and Saul wants to kill him, and he's after him, and he's kind of running from Saul, and he's in the wilderness, and he's hiding away. He's a fugitive. And this is what he writes. And it's really powerful if you think of that context. So he's really living in caves. He's not he's really out there. He's just surviving. He's got a couple of guys that are with him. But this is not like a holiday camp, right? This is a tough season in his life. So keep that in mind. Let's look at Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand upholds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. It continues a little bit. And there's a couple of things here that I picked up. Firstly, it's a powerful picture that he's in such a bad spot in all kinds of, in every way. But this is his confession. This is what comes from his heart. And this is one of the keys that I picked up on the weekend again. It's just, what is the confession of our mouth when we are going through a wilderness period, when we are in a place of persecution, when we are in a place of difficulty or struggle? And I'm just going to pick a few of these things, and I'm trusting God for just to put a few things in our heart this morning. Firstly, it says there, my soul thirsts for you, my whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there's no water. Now, if we think of ourselves as being a three-part being, a Bible school. Where is it in Calendar One? That used to use a diagram of three concentric circles. Okay, so we are body. Actually, I've got a reference to this. Let me just go to that quickly that we can. Yes, so that's Thessalonians. Now, may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So he speaks there of spirit, soul, and body. Okay, maybe this is news for you, but we are three parts, and we are created in God's image. So we are spirit. God is spirit. He's created us in his image, so we are spirit beings. So primarily spirit, created like God, and we are meant to be, instead of being humans, like having having a spiritual experience, we are actually spirit, having a human experience for a couple of years in this body until we see Christ, and we'll have glorified bodies. So we're spirit, soul, and body. Now, spirit is that of a part of us that is like God, okay? But the soul and the body we have on our life even before we come to Christ, okay? So the body is this kind of earth suit that we have temporarily. Now, at my age, it's coming. Well, I'm not that old, but I'm feeling it now. No, I'm just kidding. But you start to see, you know, if you're not careful, stuff goes the wrong way, it goes backwards. And so for us, it's kind of good news to know that someday we're going to have glorified bodies. Okay, praise the Lord for that. But so the body is a good slave, but the body is not a good. It's not good to be in charge, and we're going to get to that a bit later. And the soul is basically, soul is your intellect, your mind, your emotions, your thoughts. That's kind of all in the soul. And all of those are from God, but they need to be in the right order. And it's amazing that when we get the order wrong, things kind of get wrong and go very wrong in our lives. And that's something that stood out to me again at the Liberty Seminar. And that's what I want to chat to some of it, what I felt God laying in my heart. So in terms of David saying, yeah, my whole body longs for you and my soul thirsts for you. To be honest with you, this was not the case in my life initially. My spirit was like, yeah, you know, I want more of God. But my soul was still going after the stuff of the world, specifically just after you come to Christ. There's still a very much the body and soul are still the old body and soul that need to be sanctified, right? They need to be renewed and have not yet developed this thirst for God and this longing for God. And what is really powerful for me, there was this one person at the seminar last week and sharing a lot of things. And what she said is that basically she was in a place of permanently being out of peace, if you could call it that. We had a chat after the seminar this week as well. And what we mean when you're out of peace is when your soul is not in a good place. Okay, so that can come from different reasons. It can come from, like me, having not slept a lot this week. If you're really tired and everything is coming at you, you know, you're vulnerable and you're probably not in the best space you could be. Okay, that's just one example. A lot of things could happen. Somebody at work could, you know, say something, or maybe, you know, you get insulted, or obviously terrible things can happen, and there's, you know, some people get abused, and some people, you know, there's lots of hectic things happening. But anything like that, anything can a lot of things can cause your soul to be out of peace. So now you're upset, or you hurt, or you rejected, you're experiencing something in your emotions, and are you with me? Okay, so there's something. So it could be as simple as being tired, or it could be as hectic as being abused, or being, you know, being physically or emotionally abused. So your soul is out of peace. And then this is something I'm not sure if Craig Hill coined this phrase, but the point is, you want your soul. You want to feel better. Are you with me? So if you feel like that, this is not nice. So you want to do something to feel better. Okay, I need to help for a moment. So if you can come. And Adrian, please, man, can give me a hand here for a moment. Okay, so we're going to just do an illustration. You guys, stick with me now, right? I've got half the crowd in front here, so you must listen still, right? So just for a moment, imagine I'm the soul. This is the three parts, okay? I'm the soul now, and then you're going to be the spirit. You're the good guy, and you're the body, all right? So just imagine, just move a little bit further, Okay, so I'm not happy, the soul. Soul's out of peace. Now I have a very important decision to make. I can either choose to find comfort. I have two choices where to find comfort. I can either go to this side, to the flesh, or I can go to this side, to the spirit, which is connected to God and which is like God and where there's a life connection with the Holy Spirit, right? On this side, it's not good news. Okay, so the challenge is, most of us, our default setting is when the soul is out of peace, we want to go here. And we say, I'm just going to have two slabs of chocolate, I'm going to feel much better. Okay? Okay, everybody laughing, I know you've done this. No? Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, I haven't slept all week, my children are not well, and now I've got this issue at work or whatever. I'm thinking, I'm just going to go and whatever, I'm just going to, I'll come home, I just want to switch on the TV, I just want to veg, I just want to feel better, okay? And I go here, and I think, this is going to make me feel better. Are you with me? Okay? Now, the challenge is, that is unfortunately the default, because we are born in sin, and we are born in a place where, when the soul is not happy, the soul and the flesh work together, and we just make a plan, but we must just make this thing go away, this pain, or this hurt, or this emptiness. And the person I was speaking to was basically experiencing this empty feeling. Now, obviously, they were in an extreme situation because they'd been abused and stuff by family members. So that's emotional most of the time. So that's an extreme case, but most of us have experienced something where our soul is not in a good place, right? And we still do. And the challenge is, unless you change that pattern of doing things, you will continue to go this way. You open this door and you go into the flesh. You say, this penis may help me to feel better now. Okay. But the right way, or the better way, or the way where there is real fulfillment and real peace and real contentment is this way. It's where the Holy Spirit, we are connecting with our spirit, and our spirit directs us in what we do, and we are connecting with God and with Holy Spirit to be fulfilled, as David is speaking here now. Okay, so just remember this picture of there are two options to go to. Okay, you guys, well done, eh? You did great. Perfect, eh? I'll make use of you again in the future. so just for a moment, think of that, the reality that the default is the flesh. And so the concept is, I want my soul to return to peace. And how do I do that? Do I go to the flesh, or do I go to the spirit? Do I go to God? And this was such a powerful example for me. So I'm using it, I'm referring to it now. Because this person at the Liberty Seminar, they didn't know this, okay? But they were basically permanently in an out-of-peace situation, because of the past. So they were permanently sitting with the place of feeling a bit empty, feeling rejected, and feeling hurt. Okay, now, so we're not all at that exact place, but we have different things that affect us, okay? And the problem is, if you almost permanently in that state, you think that's what life is like. Okay? And what happens then is you find ways to make yourself feel better, and most of them are on the other side, on the flesh side. So that could mean, I don't know, our food or whatever. There's a lot of things that we find comfort in. But what it also does is, the challenge with that is, it tends to create addictive behavior. Because once there's something that makes me feel a little bit better for a couple of minutes, guess what? Next time I'm going to try that again. Because even if it was just short, some people do drugs, whatever. But I'm not only talking about drugs, but other things become kind of kind of, you know, as the scripture speaks about, it's a thought, then it becomes an argument, then it becomes a stronghold. So that thing, we kind of feel, wow, this thing helps me, this thing makes me feel better, so I will do it again and again and again. And then it becomes an addiction. It becomes something I have to do to feel okay. Are you with me? But the problem is, it's never going to get better because we're finding it in the wrong place. We're finding our comfort in something or some food or some activity, you know, or, you know, in lustful things for often for guys, you know, we just want to feel, you know, the God, you know, just wants to feel better for a moment. Or there's something that you find your comfort in for a moment, but it's never going to get better because that is not the source of life. That scripture says that when you walk in the flesh, you will reap death. And so the biggest challenge is part of our sanctification process is to renew our mind so that we find our fulfillment and our contentment and our comfort in the Spirit of God, in the presence of God, because that's where we're really full. And it was such a powerful thing that happened on the weekend, because obviously we prepare, so we fast beforehand, and we give people lots of scripture to read and lots of scripture to meditate on. We pray a lot. And the whole weekend is basically worship. But it was so powerful because this person, when I really pressed them in terms of having ever felt the presence of God, having ever felt the peace of God, there were moments that they have experienced that. But most of the time, it was just this empty, hurtful place, you know. And towards the end of the weekend, they were changed. And they were just amazed by how different they felt in terms of the presence of God and the peace of God and feeling full and not empty, feeling not rejected but loved. And we spoke afterward, and I said to them, but why did you feel like that? And I explained this to them. I said, you had been praying a lot. You've been fasting. So we always used to joke when we fast, the flesh must die. Die to the flesh so that you can connect to the Spirit. When we fasted, or when we did that bicycle tour around South Africa praying, that was the flesh dying. Lots of pain, all right? Lots of physical pain. The flesh is dead. But the power, the most powerful times we had in the presence of God, because the flesh was dead and the Spirit was alive. Amen? I will explain that if the flesh is in order and not in charge, that's the key here, guys. The Spirit must be in charge. The Spirit must be calling the shots. The soul and the flesh are not reliable in this thing, okay? In fact, Scripture tells us, let me just read one or two bits here. I'll come back to that scripture now. Also David here, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? I'll just go quickly. Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession into the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amidst the sound of great celebration. And then he asks himself, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. A different translation says, why am I cast down? Oh, my soul, why are you cast down within me? You know, he's speaking to his soul. He's saying, what's going on? But then the powerful thing comes. And then he kind of commands his soul in the New King James. It says, hope in God. He's basically telling his soul, listen, I know you want to go into the flesh now. You're going to get up to nonsense there. I'm commanding you now. Hope in God. And now he says, I will yet praise him. I will put my hope in God, and I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Let's just quickly look at this in Hebrews. This hope, okay, is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, the thing is here, guys, the soul is not stable. The soul is all over the place. I've got a beautiful little daughter. You might have seen her earlier. She's only 3, but those emotions are coming out. It's scary stuff for a guy, eh? Seriously, I need prayer. Yes, like, anyway, so I don't know what it's going to be like when she's when she's in her teens, you know, I'm trusting for lots of, she's going to be in, filled with the Spirit, hallelujah. Anyways, so, but the problem is we all have emotions, and the emotions are all over the place. They are not stable. They are not, the soul is not a good one to be in charge. And this is why the soul must be anchored. Are you with me? If the soul's not anchored, it'll go all over the place. That's why we need this hope. Strong, trustworthy anchor for the soul. The soul must be anchored. Otherwise, it's chaos. Right? And if the soul is not anchored, then it goes into the flesh. And then it's downhill from there. It's not good. So, there's a lot of stuff I want to say. But the key that I'm wanting us to click here is that even in the little things that go wrong in our day, we have this choice to make. Am I going to just go into the flesh and let the soul do its thing? Or am I going to make sure I'm anchored, that my hope is in God, that I can find my fulfillment, I can find my comfort in this difficult situation in Him? And then the key for that to happen is that the Spirit must be in charge. Now, I explained to this person that most of your life, your soul is in charge. That's why you're feeling empty. That's why you can have this habits of terrible behavioral patterns that have come out of obviously the hurt and the pain and rejection that have, you know, these terrible patterns that have been happening in their life to try and make it just better a little bit. And I've explained to them that most of your life has been that your soul and your body are in charge. And they said, yeah, well, you know, sometimes I just sleep. Don't want to get up. And I asked them, who's that speaking? Is that your body? Is it your spirit? No, it's not your spirit. The body says, oh, I want to get up. I want to sleep. Obviously, when you have little children, that's kind of, they really are a blessing from the Lord, you know, overcoming the flesh, right, Pete? Yeah. So there's no more late sleeping. I don't know about your children, but mine like to get up early. So if you want to just, you know, sleep a bit, or you feel like you want to sleep all day, I don't know if this is bad news for somebody, but this is not from the Spirit. Okay? That's not from God either. I mean, He's got stuff for us. He's got a, obviously, I'm not saying it's not bad to lie in once a year, but but that feeling, I want to go and sleep all day, or I just want to veg, or I just want, that is the flesh. And the soul thinking, I just want to, let me just watch a movie or something, maybe I'll feel better. But this is a feel-good one. Have you heard a feel-good movie? Huh? I'm going to watch this thing and I'm going to feel better. And I'm not saying it's wrong to watch any films. I only watch children's movies these days because that's safe. Well, most. But the point is, we're finding our comfort there. And I was explaining to this person, it looks to me like most of your life has been in this realm. The soul and the spirit going all over the place. And it's crazy. And I've explained to them, the reason why you're feeling great now and you're feeling full is because you've put your spirit in charge. You've been praying. You've been praying in the Spirit. You've been building up your spirit. You've been filling yourself with Scripture. You've been filling yourself with the presence of God. You have been not only confessing the Word, but you've been receiving the truth about what God feels about you. And I could see the lights going on, you know. I was thinking, hallelujah, this makes sense. For the first time in a long time, the Spirit was in charge. Are you with me? And I remember leading them in a prayer in terms of, just confess with me, God, you are my source. You are my joy. You are my strength. There's nothing else that can satisfy me. There's nothing that can fulfill me. There's nothing that can comfort me like you do. And as they were saying it, they were it was a really amazing moment. They just started to weep and went on for about like 3/4 of an hour. Because for the first time in a long time, because the Spirit was now in charge, they were receiving the love of God. And they were receiving the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And they were experiencing God's affirmation. And what in those moments of trauma that they were experienced before, they couldn't hear God's voice of affirmation. Because they were in the soul and operating this flesh. Are you with me? And I just felt God wants us to live in that place of peace. He doesn't want us to live in a place of turmoil and you know, cycles of trying to feel better in the flesh. He wants us to live in a place of comfort, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes we hear those words and we think, that's a pipe dream. That's not possible. But that's because we're operating there. We're operating in the flesh and in the soul. And we think, how is that attainable? What is this guy talking about? But it's possible, and it's what God has for us when we are operating from a place of the Spirit. And guys, I'm not saying you're going to be, you know, skipping out of your home every morning and doing that funny dance. I won't do it now. Those trousers have got a bit smaller. Last couple, I don't know why. Any case, I'm not saying that. Joy is not happiness. Joy is not necessarily walking with a skip in your step, although I try to skip now and again with Abby. But joy is something deeper and more profound than that. It means maybe I'm experiencing trauma, or maybe I've lost a loved one, or maybe I'm experiencing a very difficult season like we see in David's life, but still I know where my source of life. Maybe I haven't slept all week and the kids are driving me crazy and stuff is happening at work, but I know where my source of life is. So I'm trusting to make those good decisions that are to not go to the flesh, but to say, Lord, you are my source of peace. You are my source of strength. You are my comfort. You are my joy. And that's where I find my comfort so that I can return to a place of peace. Amen. Are you with me on that? And I just want to refer back to a couple of things here. Okay. I'm just going to read this one. Psalm 18. Actually, does anybody have a Bible? I left mine in my bag now. On your phone. I can also use my phone. Trev, there's a Bible in my bag. Wait. This is Psalm 18 is amazing. I'm gonna read a bit more of it. Can you see it? Maybe in the front. Thanks, man. I forgot to put on my timer, so I'm gonna go for long this morning. Hallelujah. Thanks very much. Okay. Let me just read a bit here. First, Psalm 18. Please go and read this at home and memorize it. Okay, it's quite long, so then maybe don't memorize it today. But I'll read a bit of it, and then I'll read the rest just from the Bible here. Okay. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I just want to quickly read a bit here. It's quite long, but I'm going to read quickly, okay? But just see what this guy is saying, all right? Now, this is also David, all right? Also in the season where he's being persecuted and hunted down, all right? So let's go from verse 4. Verse 3 says this, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Now, he paints us a picture, okay? I want you to see the picture, because he's in trouble. He's not in a good space. And then he paints this picture. It's powerful. He says, the pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, and snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Okay, he made a good decision there. And cried out to my God. He didn't go to the flesh, right? He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Can I listen? We must make a movie of this psalm. Listen to this. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. This is God. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire came from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, and his canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. This is scary stuff, all right? The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe. Lightnings in abundance, he vanquished them. And then the channels of the seas were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into the broad place, into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Okay, there's a lot still there. It's hectic. Can you see this guy's picture of what happens when he cries out to God? Okay, this is like serious stuff. The Lord comes in his wrath and anger against his enemies, and he delivers David. But can you see how where his heart is at in terms of expectation from God? I cry out to God in my place of trouble, in my place where I'm not at peace, and I know he's my deliverer. Okay, you know, maybe not going to go to this length every time, but even in that moment where stuff is getting too much and you know there's a danger, I'm going to go into the flesh now, just cry out to him. Just in a small moment, just say, God, you are my peace. You are my strength. You are my shield. And see how that truth delivers you from going back to the flesh. See how the truth enables you, empowers you to receive the affirmation of the Father, to receive his love, to receive his peace, even in that moment of trauma, even in that moment of crisis. Amen? Are you with me? I'm just going to go back to that first scripture. I'm trusting for us to come to a habit and a discipline of pronouncing and declaring the word, the truth of the word over our lives. And let's just go again. So he says, "My whole body, my soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you." So I'm telling you, God, even if it's not true yet, speak it until it's true. Even if you like vegging in front of the TV and you like eating 5 slabs of chocolate, and somebody confessed to me, I don't know if it was a confession, but somebody said that they used, for a season, they ate a liter of ice cream every evening. Now, I need to have a chat with that person, because that's not healthy, okay? And the problem is, they don't see that as a problem, but this is what was happening. They maybe had a tough day at work, or they... And we chuckle about it now, but each of us has got something, okay? Some of us go and have exercise. I'm not saying exercise is bad, but if that is the place where you find your comfort, that's a problem. It's good to exercise, okay? Don't get me wrong. But so they were finding the comfort in this tub of, I think, was it a liter or two? But hallelujah, you know, that's going to kill you, man. That's like that guy eating McDonald's. But, But the problem is, we have these routines and we have these habits. And I'm not saying all of them are bad. I'm just saying, just pause and think, where are you finding comfort? Who is your source of peace? What is your source of comfort and peace? So he says, my soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. And he goes on. And then he says, okay, because at the moment he can't go and worship at the temple. He's out there in the wilderness. He says, I've seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. So he looks back. And this is very important also when it's going heavy tough, guys, you have to have those milestones in your life to say, you know what, God, you are faithful every time. Every time. So when God comes through for us, that's why we encourage testimonies, guys. Because we could come stand in the front and we say, God is faithful. He's healed me again. Or he's delivered me again. Aneen came the other day. I was so happy that she came to share, because God healed her shoulder. And now she's a physio and she knows exactly what happens in there. So you could see when we were praying for her, this was a difficult thing for her. She couldn't lift it higher than that. She had to go like this and then go like this and then, you know. But it's so powerful. God healed her. And she came and she stood here and she said, this is what God has done. And when we need those moments, we need those milestones, we need those monuments of God's faithfulness, when we look back on our life, to say, you know what, this is a tough situation, but every time I was in need, God has delivered me. God has come through. Every time I needed something, every time we were in a crisis moment, God was there. You know, Alan and I were thinking, we saw this amazing thing in a friend's house in Cape Town. They got this kind of thing on their wall with its photos in it, but little bits of writing as well. And what it is, it's a wall of memorials. And it's got things that they say, we trusted God for this. And then there's a photo of God's provision. You know, or we were, you know, for instance, if we were thinking, we want to do something like that because it's a visible reminder of God's faithfulness. And it's a great conversation starter. They have this thing there and they celebrate God's faithfulness and they can visibly see, you know what, it's tough now, but look how faithful God has been in our lives. And it's just awesome testimonies of God's provision and faithfulness and deliverance and healing and, you know, babies and whatever, jobs and whatever, they, you know, God's just memorials of God's goodness and faithfulness in their life. And so we need to build those. I mean, I've seen you in your sanctuary and gaze upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I'll praise you as long as I live. I'm lifting my hands up to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than in the richest feast. Can you see that? He's speaking the truth. It doesn't mean he doesn't like to eat. He's just saying, you satisfy me, God. I like good food, but you satisfy me. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. You know, Holy Spirit, the word in the Greek is called parakletos. It says to come alongside and to help. He's our helper. He's with us. He says, you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. I mean, I'm not going to go much further, guys. I felt God wants us to connect with him as our source of life. Scripture, there's many references to us being filled to overflowing. There's references to us being, you know, rivers of living water. So many pictures of the Spirit of God, like water filling us to overflowing, of fountains of salvation, wellsprings of salvation. There's, you know, us coming to drink of the wellspring of the river of salvation, the wellspring of salvation, and being refreshed. But how often does it really happen? How often do we find ourselves in a place where we, let's look at this quickly again. Psalm 42, as he says, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God. And then here, verse 4, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy, giving thanks. And now this scripture was when David was far from God. Okay, he'd sinned really terribly. And he was not in a good space in terms of his relationship with God. So I want to throw this out there this morning. Maybe you can relate to this part. I remember how it used to be. I was zealous for God. I remember I was the first to go to, I was keen to go to church, or, you know, worship wasn't the chore for me. It was amazing. Or that time, you know, if there's a little bit of that in your heart this morning, that I trust there is a place for you to say, look, I want to come back into the place where this is all that matters to me. This is the most important thing. But he says, I remember how it used to be. And then obviously this is also part of his repentance process. But he recognizes that he was at a good place and now he's not at a good place with God. But then he realizes he has to change, he has to move back. Okay, so he says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? But then he says, I will hope in God. I will In the other translation, she says, "His command is all hope in God. Praise Him again, my Savior and my God." If you want to stand with me this morning, we're just going to pray briefly, and but please.